Hello, my name is Bhushan Nene. I'm with Developer and Platform Evangelism Group within Microsoft. I'm here in Boston attending Siebel Customer World User Conference. You might know that about 3 years ago, Siebel and Microsoft announced strategic alliance. And since then, we have worked on several key technology initiatives. I think the centerpiece of that was Smart Client and SOA. Today, we have opportunity to interview three key people who were involved in this initiative from the beginning. All right, so who we have here? Can you guys introduce yourself?
I'm Chris Kaiser. I'm Solutions Architect with Microsoft, and I work with our global ISVs.
Great. I'm Matt Howard. I work with Siebel Systems. I'm a product line manager for user interface frameworks, part of the platform product marketing group.
Great.
I am Mark Feinholz. I work with GE and Microsoft as well, and the Siebel Alliance and the global ISV group.
All right, let's start with you, Chris, since you have to run for your presentation later. How do you define SOA? You have so many definitions going on right now. But how would you put that in perspective within the Siebel and the new product they just announced, the Siebel Component Assembly?
Well, I mean, first off, I think SOA has been overhyped as a buzzword. I think that really service orientation is the key concept that you want to get at. And honestly, it needs to be driven from the business side. It's all about how do I take business capabilities and develop a system so that those capabilities are reusable and also so that they're externalizable, so that it's very easy to transport functionality and to migrate systems independently. In today's world of insourcing, outsourcing, and acquisition, often systems need to be integrated or moved out to a different organization. And service orientation is a way to think about interfaces into those systems that can be independently developed and is technology agnostic in terms of access.
That's great. So is SOA and web services kind of synonymous? They complement each other?
Service orientation and web services is certainly where service orientation started. I think service orientation is a way to think about how to develop systems that can be that are developed for agility and reuse, and a big part of that is understanding what business capabilities need to be grouped, how to expose those. Web services was really the first manifestation of how service orientation took hold, and I also believe web services is the direction that service orientation will go from a standpoint of interoperability. But service orientation certainly can extend beyond that to, more optimized infrastructures. It doesn't have to be bound, for instance, to HTTP protocol. It can run over different transports, and it can also really, in theory, be represented by things like binary FSS instead of just XML. However, in terms of interoperability, web services is the right way to use service orientation.
Okay. So how is Siebel using SOA today?
How is Siebel using SOA today? Siebel's announced a new product, Siebel Component Assembly, that's really developed with service orientation at its core. And one of the things you'll note in that particular approach is that they've done a very good job of compartmentalizing business capabilities into logical units that represent associated services that could be partitioned or moved off or independently deployed. And from that viewpoint, I think that it's really looking at taking enterprise systems, which historically have been very difficult to integrate and more stovepipe in approach, and extending it beyond that into an approach that can really promote reuse and replaceability and flexibility and agility.
Okay. Now, you know, just based on your definition, it sounds like the server platform and tools would be very important when you start developing SOA architecture, service-oriented architecture. So can you talk a little bit about Microsoft platform and tools that we provide?
Yes.
And how Siebel is using it?
Okay. Microsoft has been a leader in service orientation ever since really it first became, first went mainstream. We launched in 2001 first offering with AzimAxis, we affectionately call it, web services on the Microsoft platform hosted under IIS. It's evolved quite a bit since then. We have excellent support for web services protocols around with our web services enhancements. We really track the standards that are still evolving, although they're solidifying in the WSSTAR initiative. And we've really been a technology leader in the area of service orientation. In addition to that, we have great new capabilities coming out in the next year around service orientation, both in terms of infrastructure with Windows Communication Foundation, previously known as affectionately as Indigo. And we believe that that's really going to differentiate us in the marketplace around it really differentiates in the marketplace with the platform for building service-oriented distributed applications easily. But still maintain a very powerful composition and capabilities. In addition to that, Visual Studio is an excellent set of development tools. We are just releasing in 2005 a very significant update of that particular of our development tools, and Indigo is actively working with that team in terms of building capabilities into that. There's also a design time experience, which represents where we want to take system modeling, and that design time experience is around modeling web services, modeling the logical data center on which to deploy those web services, and managing, or also modeling your physical infrastructure, and allowing you to do at least design time constraint checking in terms of how the systems are deployed and whether or not your development environment meets your runtime. We just intend to continue to increase that support as we move forward.
Okay. Like a year ago, I had experience working with BizTalk server. And typically, integration server like BizTalk comes into play when you want to connect systems like Siebel with SAP or Oracle or your backend database. Does SOA obsolete integration servers, or do they still have a role to play?
Absolutely, they have a role to play. Integration servers really, BizTalk's a great example. It's going to be using Indigo technology. We'll certainly have interoperability using Indigo when Indigo ships on BizTalk. Additionally, and you'll see deeper and deeper integration as BizTalk moves forward as a product. Service orientation doesn't really solve all the problems of integration. There's still manageability issues. There is business activity monitoring and complex mapping that needs to take place. That needs to take place somewhere. And certainly BizTalk server as an integration server will continue to have those features in a high scale and also be a high scale redundant host for integrating with other enterprises and internally.
Okay. Just the other day, I know you have to go, so we'll wrap it up quickly, but I was reading up on this REST, R-E-S-T, and I'm not up on that particular technology, but it sounded to me that that's another initiative which competes with SOA, what Microsoft, Siebel, IBM, that group is doing. Can you put some light on that?
We have a big tent. I don't think that there's anything wrong with REST. REST is a paradigm for sort of CRUD-based operations. That's a very simple way to approach service orientation. In fact, in our next product, Indigo, we're going to have support for REST. So there's nothing wrong with people going through incremental approaches to web services using REST and plain old XML is certainly a step in the right direction from our perspective. We think that people in the long run are going to want richer capabilities that we offer in our platform, but as a stepping stone, REST is an architectural paradigm and a approach to delivering services, I think, is perfectly appropriate.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. I know you have to go for your presentation on the SOA, and so good luck with that. And we'll continue with Matt and Mark.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Matt. So tell me Siebel Customer World. What is it?
Yeah. So Customer World
Who
is...
Who are you? Introduce yourself.
I did introduce myself. I'll do it again. Yeah. I'm Matt Howard. I'm a product line manager for Siebel Systems, and I work in the architecture group. Managing our user interface frameworks. And Customer World is an event that Siebel puts on. It's actually our first official Customer World. It's an event we're putting on really for two reasons. One is to, in general, raise awareness in our customer base and in our extended community around the importance of focusing your enterprise on your customers. And second of all, it's to basically showcase all the great solutions that we at Siebel and our partners have put together to help enterprises focus their companies on, focus themselves on their customers. So in short, that's what Customer World is all about.
Okay. Are we doing something special, Mark, for the Customer World?
We at Microsoft?
At Microsoft, yeah.
Well, we're here at Customer World with Siebel, and we're doing a variety of talks presenting our technologies, talking about smart clients and Windows forms and workflow and service orientation with Siebel customers, and discussing how we've worked with Siebel in the past couple, 3 years.
Great. All right. So I heard the announcement about your Siebel Component Assembly. And it's a long name, so can you put that in a little perspective?
Sure. Yeah. So Siebel Component Assembly is a long name, but it's very descriptive.
Okay.
So it's good in that sense. Component Assembly is a new platform. It's a new product offering from Siebel that it's basically a new way for us to deliver our CRM technology, deliver our solutions to customers. It contrasts some from the Siebel 7 architecture, which are our packaged applications, and our hosted CRM on demand offering. And that what Siebel Component Assembly provides is components. And these components run natively on third-party, on leading third-party server, application servers, like the .NET server and some J2EE servers. And the components are really meant to work in a service-oriented architecture. So when we talk about components, and components is a big word, it can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. So it's purposely generic because it has to encompass a lot of different things. But components are basically, to give you some examples, we have data service components that can talk, do CRUD operations against a database. We have business service type components that manipulate or interpret data or perform business logic on data, things like pricing services and assignment services. We have business process components, which are actually BEPL-based business process definitions that can run on BEPL-compliant business process engines. And we have user interface components that are built using, that we configure and basically can be used in a Windows Forms application, or we also have what we call web components that can be run in a browser. So those are the types of components that you get with a Siebel Component Assembly offering.
Yeah, in the morning I heard I attended your presentation with Mark on Smart Client and Siebel Component Assembly. So, can you talk a little bit about how you are using Smart Client technology with SCA?
Yeah. So we've touched on it a little bit. Basically, we've built a framework using the Windows Forms technology that enables customers to rapidly assemble Windows Forms-based user interfaces for Component Assembly, or for actually composite applications, since Component Assembly can use components from third-party sources also. So the Windows Forms Rich Client, as we call it, is one of the UI technologies that we offer on this platform.
I know, Mark, you are very passionate about smart client. How will you define? Yeah, what's your definition or what are the tenets of a smart client application?
It's pretty straightforward for me. When it comes to smart client, it's Outlook. Outlook is better than Outlook Web Access. Outlook works offline. Outlook I don't classify as a smart client directly, though, because another tenet of a smart client is that it's easy to deploy and updates itself. And that's not the case with Outlook. It takes an impactful install, and it takes a lot to get an Outlook version upgraded. So with Visual Studio 2005, we've introduced the ClickOnce technologies. So ClickOnce enables the one-click deploy and automatic updating of applications. The third tenet is certainly that smart client applications talk web services. So before smart clients, at Microsoft, we use the term rich client, meaning the old-fashioned client-server model where your application basically had to sit on a LAN and had to talk to, it had to be on your LAN because it was talking in the database via proprietary protocols. Then thin clients came along, and suddenly the application worked at home, it worked from any computer you were on, you didn't have to be on the corporate LAN for it to work, so you got reach. Now that we have web services, our smart client applications can have the same kind of reach. They can talk over the internet using web services to databases, to services, out to the internet, whatever they want. So certainly that's a key tenet, is it uses web services to talk. And then I think beyond that, smart client applications mean you have an application running on your local device that's using the local device to its full extent. So you're using local resources, you have complete access to the hard drive, if in fact we're talking about a laptop or a Windows PC. You have full access to memory for managing state. You have the multiple threads that you can spin up to easily manage, to create an application that works, you know, in a seamless, performant kind of way while it's off talking to web services, the UI is not locked because you can easily spin up another thread. So again, it's using local resources to their fullest to provide a rich, responsive user interface. I think those are the key tenets of what smart client means. It means running on the local device, using the local device as much as it can, and all those other things I just said.
I think that's one of the best definitions I've heard. What I really want to do is look at Siebel component assembly, and you can, you know, if you can point out what are some of the strengths or why do you call that particular application smart client, you know, put that within the perspective of what Mark just said, you know, how he defined the smart client technologies. Okay. So if you can get the demo,
yep,
because that's better than 1,000 words.
Yep.
And let's see, we have a big screen TV here, so we may be in good shape in terms of.
So I want to emphasize that
All right, so we are going to try to capture this with our home video camera.
So
I'm showing the entire screen.
You can see the entire screen right now?
Yeah, okay. And I'll zoom in as you move around.
Let me actually look at it so I can just get a sense for what you're dealing with here.
Oh, that was good. You're on?
Okay. So what you see here on the screen is the Windows Forms rich client for Siebel Component Assembly. This is basically a user interface that we built. It's actually a framework that we built. The core of it is all Windows Forms technology. What we've done on top of the Windows Forms technology is, created a metadata-based framework for running these Windows Forms controls and doing all the data bindings, the web services on the back end of the Siebel component assembly. I'm just going to walk you through some of the features here of the user interface itself and try to point out places where the Windows Forms, where we've benefited from Windows Forms smart client technology. So basically you'll see up here right away that this looks like a pretty typical Microsoft desktop application with application menus, a toolbar. Our customers can customize all of this. They can create their own toolbars, just like they can in when they're building their own Windows Forms application.
And those are based on the new toolstrip controls in Visual Studio 2005.
Right here on the left is something we call an action pane. This is an expandable and collapsible pane, as we call it, for showing
information that's relevant spans across the different application areas. So, for instance, there's a global search utility here. There's a pane here that shows a little page here that shows links to frequent tasks that a user might want to do. And down here is a little dockable dashboard. This shows the critical customer information for the current, or the critical information for the record that's currently got focus in the application. Okay, so right now, there's a customer called Lydia Corbin for whom we're working a service request. We happen to be on the home page, though. Right now, here you can see a bunch of what we at Siebel call applets. Applets are basically reusable control containers. And these applets show all a bunch of data that a user would want to see as they enter into the application. One of the more interesting applets here is this inbox applet. One thing we've created at Siebel, this is really powerful tool, user interface tool, is what we call our task framework. A task is basically a wizard or a sequence of screens or pages that a user is led through in order to complete a business activity. And tasks can actually be saved as instances. So they can be, a user can save a task midway through, and then it will appear here in their inbox as a partially completed task. They can also be transferred to end users, between users, tasks can be transferred. And they can also be created and placed in the inbox by our business process engine. So the task is a very powerful concept that we've introduced.
If we could just for a second, the list controls on this page, mm-hmm. for example, the inbox grid, are all based on the new data grid view control in Windows Forms.
Right.
And under the covers, all of the data is showing up in this using the new binding source and new Windows Forms binding capabilities, parent-child binding, master detail, that stuff.
So I'm going to actually run through a little scenario here. I'm going to click over to service request and work on the click over here. This is what we call the service request activity center. Each tab up here across the top is what we call an activity center. I'm going to work the service request that I was. I'm going to actually close the service request that Lydia Corbin had. Can we stop? Sorry. Yeah.
So what are you doing, Matt? Searching? Or
Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna close this service request. The customer's called in to tell us that the solution that we gave them has been successful. So I'm gonna close the service request. The customer's name is Lydia Corbin. I'm gonna search for all service requests that she's opened. And here's the service request that we're talking about. She's having a performance problem with her router. So I searched for her name, got a list of all the service requests, and now I'm drilling in on the service request, going to what we call a summary page. And this basically gives you a snapshot of all the information that about the service request, about this particular service request record. So here's all the service request component fields, as well as fields from child tables, like description, notes, related activities. Here's the solution that we had given to Lydia to solve her problem, and the history of our interaction. I'm going to jump over here to this Collaborate page. And this is an interesting, really neat technology, very powerful technology. We've integrated the Microsoft SharePoint TeamSpace right here into this UI, and it's related to the service request record. So for every service request record that I might want to collaborate on as an agent, I can open a TeamSpace, invite people to the TeamSpace, and then share documents about the project. I can store discussion threads about the project.
Yeah, that's great. Tomorrow I'm going to interview Rob White, who is PM for Siebel Component Assembly Office Integration. Yeah. So
he'll go in depth on all the Microsoft integrations.
Right.
So just to point that out, so I jump back to the summary page. I'm going to show you a couple more features of the Windows Forms technology. Um, So for instance, here is we have right-click menus that are context sensitive. So depending on where I right-click, I get a different list of actions I can perform. So that's a great feature of this rich client technology. So let's proceed with the scenario here. I'm going to actually close the service request. So I'm going to go over here to this tasks pane. I'm going to click close service request and start one of these tasks to close the service request. Right? And basically, here's the wizard that I'm going to get stepped through as part of this task definition. So I get a summary of the service request. Okay? And notice that the status is now closed as opposed to open. The task did that in the background when the task was launched. It automatically closed, set the status to closed. And I could add comments here if I want to talk about, if I want to add comments about what we did to close it. I click next. And now the task actually leads me through what's called a needs analysis assessment. And this is actually a chance to do a little timely selling to a customer who's, we've solved the problem for them. We ask them just, two or three quick questions to determine whether they're a good candidate for a new product offering we have. So in this case, the customer answers the questions, we input that information, and the engine comes back, a needs analysis engine comes back with a product recommendation. We can describe the product to the customer briefly and ask if they're interested in having a follow-up conversation. In this case, the customer says yes, I press next, and actually the task takes me right into a sequence where I can create a lead from the service request. So, two good things have happened here. One, we closed the service request and made the customer happy by solving their problem. And two, we've generated a lead for a new sale, all in the same task definition. So I click next. The task has been created, and now the lead has been created, and now the task gives me the end user the option to go look at the task, the lead detail page, or to go return to the service request page, depending on what it is I want to do next. In this case, I'll go back to the lead summary page and review the lead that was just created. And there it is. So this is some of the capability we've built into our what we call our WinForms rich client. Leveraging the Windows Forms smart client technology, this is we got a lot of stuff. For free by virtue of choosing this platform. We give our customers all the benefits of the great work that Microsoft has been doing on the platform.
Can you give me a couple of excellent job, Matt? SCA looks really good. The UI, you can see. I'm trying to adjust my tripod again. Hang on.
Keep your day job.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
I finally got the tripod working. So,
I think it's interesting to talk and chat about the fact that Siebel has been building on Wimpy since June of 2003 or even before that. So long before there was a beta one version of Wimpy out for the public, and I think it came out in June of 2004. Siebel's been building on the earliest of milestones and going through actually quite a bit of pain. As we got them new builds every few months, they went from feature by feature by feature as the features were added, changed, morphed over the last 2.5-3 years of the product lifecycle. It's been a real, very interesting experience for both the Siebel engineers as well as for specifically the Windows Forms team, who engaged directly with Siebel. As we spec'd out new features, got Siebel's feedback, and built the features. It's been fun, exciting, and all the frustrating cycles of early adopter pain have certainly been part of the project.
So, as I understand that, Mark, you worked at Siebel office for the last couple of years?
Yeah, I've been on
site. So how is that experience like?
I've been on site at Siebel for that amount of time, since March of 2003. And I've pretty much been the front end for the Windows Forms team on site at Siebel as we've worked through the WIDB development lifecycle. in addition to Windows Forms, Siebel's using the framework, obviously, in general, and would be for other purposes. But it's been exciting. In that amount of time, we've had a lot of direct engagement with a variety of product teams. Again, specifically the Windows Forms team, Mark Bolter, Joe Stegman, Mark Rideout, Regis Bird, Jessica Fosler, those guys have just been complete key to Siebel being successful building on this platform. So it's been challenging, fun, exciting. It's been a great feedback loop. I don't think Microsoft has done this before, engaged with a customer at that early in the stage. And certainly Siebel was the first adopter of Whidbey outside of the company, and certainly the deepest early adopter of the technology.
That's great. Now, Matt, you said that you're leveraging a lot of features offered by Microsoft platform. Can you highlight a couple of them? Maybe, you know, that stand out and you could not have done without.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, certainly, you know, starting with the rich control library that the Windows Forms technology provides, you know, gave us a huge leg up. You know, having to write all those controls ourselves would have been an overwhelming task and, quite honestly, not added any value for our customers. So, you know, that's obviously a huge benefit. The other thing,
I jump in with Click Once.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Click Once was an early dependency of a reason that we went with Whidbey instead of Visual Studio 1.1 and .NET 1.1 was because of what Click Once brought to the table for us, as well as, like Matt was just saying, all the new controls and the layout controls, the table controls, the splitter panes, the new toolbars, the new tool strips, the new data grid view, etc.
Yeah.
Have you extended any functionality of these controls? Or
yeah, we have actually. So we've added some of our own capabilities, for instance, to the grid control. We've created some composite controls out of, you know, some atomic controls provided by Microsoft. So, you know, grouping two controls together as one control. Do that largely, you know, for productivity enhancement for developers, places where two controls always appear the same. We've also, you know, collaboratively developed some custom controls. One in particular that we worked on was a control for showing WSRP consumer, a web services for remote portlets consumer control that allows us to suck in portlets from a portal server. That was kind of a fun project.
Another was a presence control. So before the recent Microsoft Presence Toolkit that we just released was out, long before that, we built a custom label that tops under the covers to the RTC using the RTC API in Windows XP and provides, you know, the presence pawn that you get in SharePoint and other Microsoft technologies.
All right. Are you guys looking at Avalon UI? Is it something you can talk about or still?
Certainly, one of the reasons we went. I mean, when we moved to WinForms, you know, we knew there's this project going on called Avalon that has a lot of great technology in it. You know, there's some hesitance, like why are we making this investment in Windows Forms when there's something coming right down the road? Really, we were comforted by Microsoft that there'd be an easy migration path forward when Avalon is mature and ready for us. So, you know, we're really looking forward to embracing that technology soon, I hope. We haven't talked specifically about when yet, but
as much as 3 years ago, Brad Adelberg, one of the key client architects at Siebel, has engaged with Chris Anderson's team at Avalon, and this application that Siebel built, the Windows Forms application, is a metadata-based application. So their workbench environment, their tooling environment, spits out metadata. And they wrote a rendering engine at runtime that translates that metadata into the running Windows Forms application, which is obviously comparable to the underpinnings of how XAML works in Avalon. So the metadata, Siebel's metadata and Avalon at their earliest of stages were lined up so that they're similar and they work together, and one will lead to the other very easily. So Avalon is definitely in the future.
All right, I think we are almost out of time. This is just a great example of how two companies, when they work together, can produce such an excellent, good-looking software. Looking at the SCA UI, I'm very impressed, and I thank you for your time.